The light of God is shining again, dispelling the darkness in the hearts of men, turning their night season into their morning, converting their wilderness places into blossoming gardens, and their arid lawns into gushing brooks of living waters. This is the day of the manifestation of the sons of the living God. And for this cause, the Lord is pouring out His mighty Spirit upon all flesh, causing them to see dreams and visions, and give them a crystal clear understanding of the mystery of the ages, which is the Christ in you. This recording is a message from Trevor Igaga, an anointed servant of God, called to preach the sacred mystery of Christ and to unveil His glorious realm of unconditional love and bliss before all men. As you embrace this message from on high, receive hundredfold restoration of everything that the caterpillar and the canker worm have devoured in your precious life. Let your health speed forth speedily, and the joy of your salvation overflow like great torrents of water. For more free messages, do visit our website at www.sunrayministry.org or contact us on info@sunrayministry.org. May the God of peace and love keep you.
Jesus Christ spoke about a narrow path that leads to life. A narrow path. Spoke about two paths. There is that wide path that leads to death, destruction, to misery. And multitudes go through that path. Multitudes over the ages fled that path, that wide path that leads to destruction. Now these are the words of Jesus, not the words of any man. So what is the Lord indicating here? Your ways are not my ways. Neither are your thoughts my thoughts. Cease from man. Cease from the terrestrial. Cease from the earthly man. If you want to discover that narrow path that leads to life. Multitudes pass through that, you know, wide path, that wide gate, that wide, you know, road that leads to destruction. Even those who say Jesus, 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 pass through that wide path that leads to destruction. He says on that day, many will come. I'm taking, you know, some quotations from the Beatitudes, the famous Sermon on the Mountain, when Jesus Christ sat on the mountain to indicate the elevated place of consciousness that he's gathering his sons into. And he opened his mouth to speak these words. Says some will come in that day saying, you know, Jesus, Jesus, I did this in your name, I did this in your name. But he will say, get thee behind me, I do not know you. Who are you? I can't even see you. I don't know. Who are you? Praise God. Now, these are the religious people, or we can call it a religious sense of being that has not still understood the meaning of Jesus. I've done this in your name. I did this in your name. Jesus, I've been evangelizing, I've got big churches, I've called, brought many people to Christ and all that, and you know, at the end of the day, he comes to the gate and, you know, he can't enter in. You see, every day of your life, you are knocking, you know, at that door to enter into God's kingdom. Do you know that? Every day of your life, you are knocking on that door, praise God, and it's your ability to understand the mystery of life that will cause that gate or that door into God's kingdom to be thrown open to you. Praise God. So never think that something will happen tomorrow where people will meet Jesus in the sky somewhere, and there will be some kind of door somewhere, and, you know, people will be on the line, and, you know, when you get to the door, you have somebody looking at your report sheet. What did you do while you are here on earth? And if you did good, you'll be allowed to enter into the door. And if you did bad, he'll show you another way, another door into hell. See, every day of your life, you are knocking on that door. Praise God. And you can either enter in and begin to enjoy life now through the name and the revelation of Jesus, or you remain outside in outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is hell, the dimension where the men of this age inhabit. See, don't be deceived by outward appearances. You can be the richest man in the world, have all the goods of this earth gathered unto yourself, and still be in the very depths of hell. You can be in the White House, a president in the White House, and still be in the depths of hell. See, it is a realm of nothingness, a realm of fear, torment, anguish of soul. Praise God. So Jesus Christ today is demonstrating to us that narrow path that leads to life, so that we don't be like the multitudes, praise God, who out of ignorance tread that path into destruction. There is a narrow path that leads to life. Hallelujah. Isaiah 35 speaks about this beautiful wonder, this life that is to be revealed in any man who can hear what the Spirit of God is saying this very moment. Hallelujah. Just tune off from this world for a moment. Tune off from the outer world for a moment. Tune off from your failures as a human being. Tune off from, you know, the many, many hassles, the pressures of the outer world, and just listen right now to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Praise God. Isaiah 35 puts it plainly, beautifully. Praise God, the workings of salvation that the Lord is implementing in our lives today. Remember, right now is the time. There is no tomorrow. There is no yesterday. Now is the time. Jesus Christ used that phrase several times. The hour cometh and now is. Praise God. So you better realize that these prophecies are fulfilled in you right now. Praise God, as you adhere to the voice of the Spirit. Praise God, the hour cometh and now is, when the worshippers of God will worship God in spirit and truth. It is that this is Jesus Christ speaking 2,000 years ago. And people are still expecting something to still happen tomorrow. Now is your time, as you are hearing this message from above. Now is your time to awake to life. Praise God. Be grateful to God. Hallelujah. Not tomorrow. You know, if you look at the Old Testament, the New Testament, the book of Revelations, Jesus Christ on several occasions in the message relayed to the church through the angel by the Alpha and the Omega, which is Christ, he says, I come quickly. I come quickly. Blessed are those who keep the words of this book. I come quickly. And you know, people are still, this is over 2,000 years ago that John saw this revelation. And he says, I come quickly. I come quick. Somebody will say, well, 2,000 years can be one day with God, and you know, I come quickly. You must understand the nowness of the things of God. It's as you hear the message now, as you adhere, as you embrace the voice of the Spirit from on high, that you begin to realize the Christ in you. This is the coming. I come now. The coming is the emergence, the unveiling of the Son of God in you, the Christ in you, the glory and the image of God in you. That is the command. He says, I come quickly, I come now. So you can see that the word of God is always now. The time has come, and now is when those who are in their graves hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they are awake now. Are you hearing the voice of truth? Praise God. So let the prophecy we're about to read apply to you right now. See, praise God, stand where you are and begin to awaken to the reality of life in the Spirit as you hear this message. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 35, it says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, hallelujah, and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Oh, hallelujah. Now let's pause there. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking about a wilderness place, a solitary wilderness place, a deserted place, a wilderness place that is a desert that is being converted into a blossoming garden, where the rose shall blossom, hallelujah, where joy shall awaken in the midst of that deadness, where singing shall break forth, and the glory of, you know, the glory of the Lord is seen. See it? And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellence of our God. Now, what is he talking about here? What is this desert? What is this desolate place, this wilderness? This place where there is no life, where there is no joy. What is he talking about? He's talking about man in his deadness. It is talking about the natural man who is dead in his carnal, you know, sense of being. Praise God. It speaks about the spiritual darkness, the state of abject darkness, outer darkness, where men are reality annihilated from the very life of God that is really their own life. It speaks about the state of a man who is without knowledge of the glory of the Lord that he is. But what is this glory of the Lord to be revealed? What is this excellency to be revealed? What else is more glorious, and what else is more excellent than the Christ that is in you? This is the image of God. This is the glory of God. Christ is the glory of God. Christ is the image of God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So we are beginning to understand the workings of the Spirit. We are beginning to understand the voice of the Spirit. What is the Lord saying in this hour? Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. Christ in you, the unveiling of that celestial man in you, is the glory of God that is to be revealed. That is the hope of your glory. Praise God. And it's just there within you. You just have to wake up, that's all. Know that I am him, that's all. See, when you begin to realize the inner man, which is the Christ in you, then you begin to awaken to the joy of your salvation, to the peace, hallelujah, and the glories of the nations, the abundance of the nations shall flow to you like torrents of living water. Hallelujah. Gladness of heart, joy, peace that goes beyond the comprehension of the natural man is yours in this new, you know, found consciousness. Praise God. It's just something that is already within you. And this is what God wants to unveil in this hour. Everything that the Spirit is saying is directed to awakening the glory of God that is in you. Hallelujah. The psalmist says, awake my glory. Awake my glory. What was that glory? Is it Christ in you? Is the celestial being in you? The eternal being in you? The God in you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't be deceived by the outer, whatever, you know, how things might be, you know, attached outwardly. Something might not be well in your family. Something might not be well in your, might not look well in the outer body or something, you know. But I'm working right now to that thing that is within you that John says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your joy and your peace is in recognizing this great gift, this great truth in this hour. Hallelujah. It says, I'm going to verse 3, Isaiah 35, verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and streams in the desert. Praise God. That is your ignorance, your barren human state. As you begin to hear the voice of the Spirit, that's a breaking forth. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ says, out of your belly shall what flow rivers of living water. Within your innermost being, praise God, we flow those streams of Eden once more. And you begin to hear gladness of heart. Hallelujah. You begin to behold the beauty and the glory and the majesty of God. Your eyes begin to be open to the reality of God's presence that covers, you know, all in all. His presence fills all in all. Then your soul can now relax in this realization. You can now rest in the bosom of God as your eyes are open, because His presence is like, you know, the waters that cover the seas. When you see a sea, the sea, do you see any space in the sea? Do you see any space, any hole in the sea? It's all covered with what? With water. That is how the glory of God covers all in all, but men are not aware of this because they are asleep. There is only God, you know that? But men are asleep because they've got to, you know, they put on a carnal mind. And they've now begun to look at the outer world, the physical, natural realm, not realizing that these things are simply pointers to the beauty of God. Hallelujah. If you are looking at the things that are earthly and carnal, you're actually looking at the nakedness of God. Or you can call it, you're looking at the back of God. Praise God. You know when Moses asked to see the face of God, you know, he couldn't see. God refused. And what happened? Moses saw the back of God. He saw God's ass. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm speaking blasphemy here. That's what it says. He saw the ass of God. He saw the back of God. That is, he saw the inglorious part of God. And that is how it is when you look at unto natural things, unto terrestrial things, you're actually looking at the back of God. You are not seeing the glory of God. See, if you want to see God, you see him by faith. Jesus Christ says, speaks about the sons of the kingdom, that they see the face of the Father. You don't see the back of God. You see the back of God, that means you are looking at the natural creation, to the natural earth, and that is death. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have to, the eyes are open right now as we are illumined by the Spirit of God. There's an elevation in our consciousness to begin to behold the invisible presence of God that fills all in all. Hallelujah. And we can't help but swim in that beauty, swim in that glory. Hallelujah. When Ezekiel saw the temple of God in the latter days, Ezekiel saw a stream of water flowing from the innermost part of the temple. Praise God, and we know that we are that temple. And that small river that flowed from the innermost part became like a river that took, that even, you know, a river strong enough to just sweep off a person. Instead, it starts from the ankle and goes up and goes up and goes up and goes up. Before you know it, you are flowing in that river. That is how it is when you awaken to the reality of God. Hallelujah. So the eyes of the blind see, the ears of the deaf are unstopped. It's not just talking about physical miracles. Praise God, you can have your physical eyes healed but still be blind. You still remain dead. Because your physical eyes, of course, it can help you to go around and all that kind of stuff. It will help you, aid you more in this life. But at the end of the day, you are still stone dead spiritually if your spiritual eyes of understanding is not open. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we have to be careful to understand what miracles are. Miracles is not just a changing of the physical condition. See it. But rather, an awakening to that which is Christ. That is the greatest miracle, causing the dead to awake. See, it's not just talking about calling a physically dead man out of the grave to awake. You know, that's not what they call resurrection. See, you can raise a man from the dead and a man remains dead spiritually. You know that? Lazarus came forth from the grave physically. That was an allegorical demonstration. Metamorphical demonstration. Jesus Christ did this properly to kind of teach us spiritual truths. Lazarus came out from the grave, but does not mean that he was actually resurrected. Jesus Christ did that to show us spiritual truths. How we too can awaken from the dead, from the, you know, the deadness of our human lives back into life. Praise God. Let's move on. Are you there? I'll go down to verse 8. Isaiah 35, verse 8. Now we're now getting to the highway. Remember, we're talking about this narrow path into life. See, it's a narrow path into life. And Jesus Christ admonishes that every man should seek that narrow path. See it? Today, when you have a wide express road, a highway with 8 lanes, you see most of these things in America. Down here in Europe or in Africa, normally you have smaller roads. But in America is known to have very big, massive highways with 8 lanes, 6 lanes, you know. And obviously, everybody will be tempted to go on the bigger lanes, isn't it? It looks more comfortable, it looks more, you know. But you have the narrow path. Jesus Christ speaks contrary, that we should follow the narrow path. Of course, I'm not trying to say that if after this message you should quit using highways physically. We're speaking of spiritual things. Praise God. A narrow path into life. See, narrow path into life. Let's read it. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of what? Of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not hear therein. No lion shall be there, or any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Praise God. A highway, a way shall be there. Praise God. Now we're speaking about those who will realize this blossoming garden, this place of with brooks, springs of living waters. So these are those who will walk on that way, on that path that Jesus Christ is demonstrating unto you. When he says follow me, Jesus Christ says follow me to his disciples. He's saying follow me and I will lead you through that path unto the place of life, which is upon the very heights of Zion. Follow me, I will lead you. This is why the Christ is revealed. This is why we have the Spirit. So those are led by the Spirit and the sons of God. Now the Spirit of God leads you by that what? Narrow path into life. So he leads you to that narrow path by still waters into the place of life, where you, and it maintains you in the place of life. That is what the Spirit of God is there for. Praise God. It establishes you upon Mount Zion, which is the everlasting hill of the Lord. It's a dimension that never passes away, that remains the same from age to age. That's Mount Zion. That is the kingdom of God that is preached to us today. Praise God, it's wonderful, isn't it? Let us understand what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. You can experience life in its fullness today, but you must allow the Spirit to lead you to that narrow path. It's a path of holiness. It's not a path of religion. Holiness has got nothing to do with, you know, your conduct as a man, religiosity and all that kind of stuff. That's not what holiness is. It's not about not drinking beer. Angels can drink beer. Jesus can drink wine. Are you listening? Stop judging by appearances. Stop looking at other people. Understand that holiness has got nothing to do with all those definitions of what men call holiness. Praise God. Holiness is Christ. Holiness is the man that is from the beginning. Holiness is walking in the truth. That is why in the message, I think that's the message to the church in Philadelphia, which is the sixth trumpet, it says, him that is holy, him that is true, him that is holy, him that is true. That is the message of the church in Philadelphia, which is the sixth trumpet. It starts off with him that is holy, him that is true. God created you holy and perfect. You are already holy, eh? It has got nothing to do with outward experiences or whatever. It's all about walking in truth. That's why it says he that is holy, he that is true. What are you holy unto? You are holy unto the name of the Lord. It means that you walk solely by the name of the Lord, not by the name of any other beast or creature of the earth. That is holiness. It's a path of holiness unto the Lord. Meaning that those who walk on that path walk in the name of the Lord. No man can walk on that path. It has got nothing to do with religion. Praise God. I remember a pastor, you know, one of those famous big pastors once came to my house. I hosted him. And, you know, I remember I tried to offer him wine. And he busted out, what? Never. I felt sorry for him. Praise God. Holiness has got nothing to do with those things that we think as men. That's just carnality. Somebody will try to argue that the water that Jesus Christ turned to wine, it was not alcoholic. It was, you know, it had no alcoholic content in it. That was just grape juice. Deceive yourself. You'll be serving grape juice in a wedding. Continue deceiving yourself. Hallelujah. It's written that when Noah came out of the ark, Noah had what? Some wine. Praise God. See, if God was a man, probably God would have probably cast Noah back into the sea to die with everybody because he took wine. See, we're just, you know, we fool ourselves when we argue over beggarly elements. Just making a fool of ourselves as men. Holiness has got to do with walking in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You are holy. It means that you live solely by the name of the Lord. When Paul says it is no longer I, but Christ, that is holiness. That is a life consecrated unto the name of the Lord. It's not Paul today, tomorrow Christ. It's a path of holiness. It's the path of the Lord. Only the name of the Lord passes that path. Only those who walk in the name of the Lord pass that path. Hallelujah. Praise God. The path unto Mount Zion. No beast is found there. No lion, no ravenous beast. He's talking about wild beast. What is the beast today? He's not speaking about what? He's not speaking about the devil with a fork and tail somewhere in the sky or underneath the earth. See, praise God. If you want to find the devil, first of all, look at yourself in the mirror. If you look at the carnal man in the mirror, you see, you'll be looking at the devil. Praise God. Just the same way you can manifest God, you can manifest the devil. You know that? Depends on how you walk. If you walk in carnality, the devil will manifest himself. Hallelujah. But if you walk in the spirit, in truth, it is the Lord manifesting himself. Praise God. The ravenous beast speaks about man. Don't you know that all men have the mark of the beast? Don't you know that Adam in his transgression put on the mark of the beast, which means the nature of the terrestrial, the carnal man, the beastly man? He became a creature of territory and space. Territory, time, and all of that. He became a lower creature of the dust. He had the marks of the beast. That's why Jesus Christ, you say, that you're offspring of devils, of vipers, of serpents. He calls the scribes and the Pharisees. Meaning, he was telling them to their face that they were all offspring of the beast, which is the serpent. They all had the mark of the beast, the nature of the beast. That is man. Hallelujah. So it seems like this is not a path for men. Now you understand why Jesus Christ says you must lose your life. Jesus Christ says you must lose your terrestrial life, your human life as a man. Otherwise you can't follow me, you can't enter into God's kingdom, you can't enter into life. See, the beast. It's like that rich man who tries to enter through the eye of the needle. You can't. A human being cannot enter into the eye of the needle. Praise God. That's why we must allow ourselves to die the death of our Lord Jesus by faith as we hear the voice of truth. Hallelujah. It's not a path for beasts. Men cannot walk through that path into life. That is why many seek to enter in but are not able to, because many cannot seem to let go of their human lives. The lust and the pride of this age. she's sticking to the outer world of appearances, to be seen by men, to be approved by men, to walk before the face of men. Praise God, you have to decide whether you now begin to walk before the face of God in the spirit, or you walk before the face of men in this carnal realm. Hallelujah, praise God. There are two different things. If you observe the redeemed of the Lord throughout the book of Revelations, they always stand before the face of the Father, and they are blameless before the face of the Father. Before the face of the Father. Now you can walk before the face of the Father or walk before the face of the man. Praise God. So we're understanding spiritual truth today as the Spirit is speaking. This path is not a path for man. Man does not exist in God's vocabulary. Hallelujah. Seed for man, whose breath is in his nostrils, whose understanding is, vain understanding. Seed, whose treasure is in the dust. Do you know that God counts this world as a pocket of dust? This world that you hold on to and you try to preserve and keep onto yourself. It's like a bucket of dust to God. You can't take anything out of it. You can't keep anything. You can't maintain anything as a man. Mark it. They fight over the ages. The pharaohs of Egypt tried it. Great kings, rich men, intelligent, wise men, spiritualists, psychics, and all over the ages they've tried to kind of, do something on the earth, to keep something, but it is not possible. You have to let go. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have to let go of our lives as men and accept the life of the Spirit, which is the real life. Walk in the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Walk once more in your true identity, which is purely spiritual. See, all these years you've lived in a life thinking you are male, you are female, you are born, you are this and that. You have to let go of that. When you let go of that, a new world opens to you and you begin to find your peace and your joy once more. Hallelujah. And you can now begin to live by the power of the Spirit. See, the power of the Spirit, by the power of God, that is able to sustain you throughout all eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. A path of holiness, a narrow path. It's narrow simply because most men love their life in this world. You love your life more than him. He says you are not worthy of me. We love our families. We love to be approved by men, by our religious leaders. We love to be in the multitudes. We love to be loved by men, isn't it? But Paul says clearly that those that will live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus Christ confirms it when he says, those who have left brothers, sisters, lands, and everything in this terrestrial outer world will gain a hundredfold in the ages to come in Christ. Jesus Christ adds, with persecutions. With what? Persecutions. They think you are nuts. How dare you go against the laid down establishments, systems of men, and the systems of religion? Praise God. How dare you go against the church establishments, the religious establishments? How dare you? Who are you? Praise God. But I tell you today that all these things you call churches and all these things are nothing in the eyes of God. They don't exist. Method of prayer. What are you praying to? Jesus Christ did not come to teach you how to pray. Let me just tell you. He didn't come to teach you how to fast. He didn't come to teach you how to become religious, how to pay tithes. And all these are just trash. Human imaginations. Thinking that you can reach God sitting somewhere in the sky, through your prayers and through your shouting and through all your vain worship. You can only begin to know God when you know yourself, when you are waking to truth. Praise God, because only the Son knows the Father. Are you listening? Jesus Christ says what? Only the Son knows the what? The Father. And only the Father knows the Son. So you can't know God except you know the Son of God in you. Jesus Christ said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, which Jesus Christ are you knowing? Is the Christ in you? If you know yourself, you know the Father. Are you listening? Praise God. Don't try to be religious. All those things will not lead you anyway. Mark my word. You're crying and you're praying all night and all. No. It won't take you anywhere. See, you wake up one and discover you are just crying to nothing. See, if you want to pray, you better be asking that kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. That should be your prayer. That should be your goal. The driving force in your life. Hallelujah. Leave the realm of religion. Religion looks attractive. The multitudes go there, isn't it? It looks attractive, isn't it? And at times you think you are losing it when you are not among them, isn't it? But let me tell you, it's only a few that can find this path of life. That's why only three disciples could follow Jesus up that mountain. See it? If it were possible, Jesus would have wanted to carry all those multitudes up that mountain. But I tell you, they will not come. Are you listening to me? They will not come, endure 3 days of hard trekking to go up to that mountain. Unless Jesus Christ probably will convince them that they will find gold there, or oil, or some kind of, you know, something there, you know, for their good. That is when they can risk 3 days to go up that mountain. Mark it, if Jesus Christ had called the multitude, let's go up that mountain, they will not follow him. Are you listening? They will not follow him. It's a narrow path, and very few find it. Very few find it. That's why we are admonished to allow the Spirit minister to us and lead us into this dimension of bliss. Hallelujah. When John saw them in the book of Revelation, 144,000 upon Mount Zion, they were standing before the lamp of God. This lamp with the 7 eyes of God upon it. In the earlier chapter in Revelation, it says that this lamp had 7 eyes upon it, which are the 7 spirits of God. See, the Spirit of God leads us, is the lamp of God, the inner anointing, leading man back to that spiritual height in God. Mount Zion is the place of what? Of the blessing. It's written there in the book of Psalm chapter 24. Who shall ascend God's holy mountain? Who shall ascend? Who shall ascend? See it. It is the place of what? Of the blessing. And what greater blessing is there than to realize that you are God? See, we're not speaking about philosophy, head knowledge. We're talking of realizing the glory and the power consciously. It is the place of the blessing. It is the place of what? The glory. But it says, I will not give my glory to another one. See, God cannot give his glory to another one. So if you want to partake of God's glory, you must be conformed into God's image. Hallelujah. So you must walk in the name of the Lord. That's why the 144,000, they all had what? The name of the Father written on their foreheads. See, that is the only way they can stand in the place of life. Because what they have the name of the Father written upon their forehead. They walk in the nature of the Father. They walk in the identity of the Father. They walk in the spiritual nature of God. And God is spirit. God is not flesh and blood. And there is only one spirit. The Lord is the spirit. The Lord is what is the spirit. And he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with what? With the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Hallelujah. The ransom shall return to the Lord, to Mount Zion, you know, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and so, you know, and sorrow and sighing shall what shall flee away, shall run away. It's no more. It shall flee away, because these ones have awoken back to the dimension of Eden. Pleasures, where you can't just do but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today is your day. By faith, begin to open your eyes to see a new realm, an invisible realm that is present. That's where rest your consolations forever. Mount Zion, the place of all power, the place of what? Of the King, of the great King. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord and great is to be praised in the city of our Lord, in the mountain of his holiness. That is Mount Zion. It's the city of the great King. Praise God. Put on the name of Christ. Walk in the name of Christ. Walk in the solely according to this revelation of this man that is from eternity, which is the Lord from heaven. Walk in this reality. You know, dig in. Hallelujah. Don't worry. You know, at times over the years, many of us have had this message, heard these messages. And you know what happens? Along the years, many step aside. And very few continue. See, let us be among that handful that will walk this path of holiness. See, it's a narrow path into life. See, only the spiritually minded, the Christ-like, those who are Christ-minded, those who walk in the name of the Lord, in the Spirit, see, meaning that they have no treasures on the earth. They are not of this earth. Even as the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am not of this world. These ones are not of this world. Even as the Lord says, I am from above, we are from above. So let us remember these things and awake to this reality. Joy and gladness is yours. Peace, power, and all dominion is yours. See, let this voice you've heard today awake you to this reality. God bless you. Amen. Thank you.
truth.